Okay. So I thought for an introduction to the, even though I'm taking over this year for someone else, and he's in the middle, but what I wanted to do was give a little bit of introduction into Navi in general, for myself, for whoever's listening. And you know, how what is Navi? What's the difference between Navi and learning Navi and learning Torah itself and Torah Moshe? So there's a number of different aspects to this, and one is what the in terms of Talmud, mitzvah Talmud Torah, and you know, where does Navi fit in terms of the mitzvah of learning Torah, and also what is Navi? What's the difference between Nevuah of the Nevi'im and Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and the books themselves, the differing Nevi'im themselves, what's the difference between them and the Torah itself? So the first point I want to touch on is the subject of this is where it comes up in the posting. There's 2 points. One is the post can discuss that a person has to divide up his learning. And one of the subjects that a person has to learn is Torah Kedushah. So the Rambam and the later posting, so they say that Torah Kedushah include not only the Torah itself, the 5 books of the Talmud, but also Nevi'im and Ketuvim. And that seems to be agreed on, that the Talmud Torah, Navi would be included in that. There's another point, which is, what is a person required to teach their child? Because there's no in the posting, they say, the Gemara really, that you don't have to teach your child, the mitzvah of teaching your child doesn't include Gemara, it's really restricted to Torah Sebechtah, to Mikra. The question is, what's included in Mikra? So in the Gemara, Rashi already says that Mikra means, Torah means the 5 chumashim, and it does not include, he says specifically, Rashi says, Nevi'im and Ketuvim. But the Rambam and the Tur, when they bring down the halacha, they say that, again, the Gemara, I think, only uses the word Mikra. So it's not clear what it means. The way that they bring down the halacha is they say that a person has to teach his child Torah Sebechtah Kula, the entire Torah Sebechtah. So the Bach, in his commentary on the Tur, he says, look, why did they say Kula? Because the Tur and the Rambam hold that the mitzvah of to teach your son includes teaching them not only Torah Sebechtah of the 5 chumashim, but Torah Sebechtah Kula. The entire thing is even in the Nevi'im and Ketuvim. And as a result of this, the Bach is very upset that people aren't accustomed to teach their children Navi. They don't teach it in the yeshivas, really. Depends where you go. But so the Bach, again, writing in the 1600s, he's unhappy, early 1600s, with the practice of not teaching Navi. He says, certainly, maybe if you can't afford it, so you could rely on Rashi, who says that there's no obligation to teach your child Navi. But otherwise, everybody, he holds, really, even if you can't afford it, as much as you should teach your children the rest of the Torah, you should teach them Navi. And he's upset about that. You know, the Shach in the Shulchan Aruch also agrees with the Bach that there's a mitzvah to teach your child Navi in addition to the 5 chumashim. But the Shach, adding also writing in the 1600s, he tries to be miyashiv the minhag. Where does this custom come from that we don't actually teach Navi? And he says that it's because by learning Gemara you'll come across you'll learn Navi. You'll learn through Navi by just learning Gemara. It's all included in the study of Gemara. In fact, I think there's a story with the Ruderman where someone asked him, you know, why don't you teach Navi in the yeshiva, in Eretz Yisrael? And he said that because you'll come across all of Navi by learning Gemara. So the guy, I think, tried to test him. He said, okay, so what about this pasuk? And, you know, Ruderman, I don't remember remember where it was, but, you know, on the spot, like the Tosfos and Brachos, Das, whatever, like on the spot. So that was the piece of the rooming. I think that's the general system of yeshivas is that they don't teach Navi. But you know, definitely the many poskim are telling you that, no, it's very important to learn Navi. And personally, I learned Navi in elementary school and high school. I haven't learned it so much since then, and I'm very excited to have an excuse to really delve into the Navi, because there's a lot there. Now, what is Navi? What's the difference between the Nevuos of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Nevuah of the Nevi'im? So we know already that Moshe had a certain clarity in his Nevuah that the Nevi'im didn't have a clarity on the era. It was like a clear glass for his. That already, Moshe's level of Nevuah was unmatched in all of history. So he definitely had a greater clarity. There's a Yaakov Kamenetsky in Parashat Makkah discusses, there's a Rashi there. The Pasuk there says, he introduces, he's talking about Nedarim, vows, and the Pasuk introduces it, Zeha Davar Asher Tziva Hashem. This is the thing that Hashem has commanded. So Rashi brings a Chazal, it's a Sifri, that says Moshe Nisnabi B'Koamar Hashem. Moshe had Nevuah begin with the word Koamar Hashem. So says Hashem. Bachatos HaLayla. This was when Moshe was in Mitzrayim. He had a Nevuah of when Makas Bechoros is going to take place. He says, and he uses the word Koamar Hashem. So says Hashem. The Sifri goes on, the Medrash continues, the Nevi'im and the other Nevi'im, Nisnabu b'Koam Arashem. They also had Nevuah with Koam Arashem. Many, many Nevuos in the study of Navi and Nevi'im and Tzuvim will begin with Koam Arashem. But then the Medrash continues, Moshe Faleya Moshe, Nisnabi b'Roshon Zehadavar. But Moshe had something additional in this pasuk. He also had Nevuah, prophecy that began, Zehadavar. This is the thing that Hashem has commanded. So the question is, what's the difference between a Nevuah of Koam Hashem, so says Hashem, which all the Nevi'im had, and so did Moshe as well, but Moshe also had additionally a different type of Nevuah of Zehadavar Asher Tziva Hashem. This is the thing, this is the matter that Hashem has commanded. So Rabbi Yaakov says that we find the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that when it comes to Nevi'i Emes, to real Nevi'im, real prophet, the Gemara says, Ein shnei Nevi'im isnabim b'signal echad. Two Nevi'im do not have the same Nevuah. They don't prophesy in the same way, in the same style. It's not going to come out the same when they deliver their prophecy. In fact, that's how Yehoshaphat knew that the Nevi'im of Achav, the evil king, that his Nevi'im were false. There were many false prophets in his day. Yehoshaphat, the king of the Jewish people at the time, was able to discern that, he was the king of Yehuda, I believe, that the Nevi'im of Achav were in fact false Nevi'im. They weren't true prophets because they all prophesied the same thing. Exactly the same. Right? You might think that, if all the prophets are saying the same thing, so it must be that it's true, right? That it's a real prophecy. How did it all come out the exact same? But, exactly. Right? They said the same thing, so it must be it came from God.
But we had different prophets. The Torah prophesied the destruction of the temple, and so did Yeshayahu.
Right. Right. That's true. So,
what's the difference?
It's a good question. So I think, again, the prophecy itself of the destruction of the temple, you know, was already there, and maybe each one had it on its own, but they they were each being sent to, you know, to warn the Jews. Hashem sends them over and over again, warn the Jewish people. So each event, you know, at each time they require a further warning to try to get the Jewish people to do tshuva.
So what you're saying is that
I think the main point is that is the wording, is the style. I think the word signum can mean like style. That to deliver it in the exact same way, two people could prophesy the same idea. It's not like malachim, I don't think, right? Malachim, we know, don't have two malachim don't have the same mission. In the Nevi'im, I think they could, you know, have basically the same mission, but it's not going to come out the same. That's what the Gemara is saying, and that's why they knew that that the Nevi'im of Achav weren't true or false, because they all prophesied in the exact same way. So why is it that way? Why, you know, you would think again that it should be the opposite. That if you're saying the same thing, then, you know, Hashem gives you a vision and you deliver it, and it ends up being the same. So he says, based on another Gemara, the Gemara in Brachos says that kishem shefar shuvah ha'adam einam domim zeh l'zeh. Just like two people's faces, no two faces are exactly the same. Kach ein da'osei in shavu. So too, our minds are not the same. No two people can have the exact same mind, the exact same perspective, the exact same way of thinking. And therefore, two people who hear the same thing are going to interpret it slightly differently and deliver it slightly differently. We have our experience, our life experiences affect how we interpret something. If a person is very, very wealthy, so then he looks at things a certain way, differently than someone who's very poor. If a person is, you know, a little bit arrogant, or then he'll look at things different than someone who's humble. Everybody with their different needs and their different life experiences is going to have a different approach to life, a different perspective. They'll look at things differently. And he says, therefore, when it came to the Nebu of the Nevi'im, So HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give them, the Navi, a vision. Do we have a vision? Again, it's not a crystal clear vision like Moshe Rabbeinu had exact. It was a vision that was sort of up for a small amount of interpretation for the, not necessarily to, again, the message was clear, but how to deliver that message, how, what wording to use to bring it out, wasn't necessarily exact. It depended on where the Navi was coming from, what his personal personality, his attributes were, and that would determine how his nevuah would, how he would interpret it, how he would deliver it, how he would tell it to the people, how he would write it on paper, and therefore that's why no two Nevi'im would actually deliver the exact same nevuah. No two Nevi'im are nisnabe b'signon echad in the same style, because there's a little bit of interpretation involved. As opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was in Sabi, this is the thing that Hashem has commanded. This is it. This is the exact thing, same thing that Hashem has commanded. And that's the Torah's Moshe. That's the five Chumashim are exact wording of Moshe, of the Ribono Shel Olam. As opposed to Nevuah, it's the Navi, he has a vision, he then uses his own words to describe what he has seen.
Isn't it also different that Moshe was awake when he was receiving?
That's true. You're right. There's a number of different aspects to how Moshe experienced the vision, but I think that was part of how he was able to have the clarity that on his level of Nevuah.
Right, exactly.
And so it was exactly.
It
was exactly. He was just, right, speaking out the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Exactly.
Whereas Sefer Devarim is a little bit different.
Right, so I didn't have a chance to research how Devarim differs exactly, but right, it's the words of Moshe.
Like,
yeah.
I'm
not sure how that fits into this discussion.
You're saying Moshe prophesied also in there the Ko.
Right. But Ko was already in the shrine, so it could be he was still growing in his Nevuah, I'm not sure. But it's a good point. Now, based on this, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, a big chiddush, and his introduction, Shabbos Yaakov, and he says that there's a big nafkamina, a practical difference now between the Sagi of Torah and the Sagi of Navi. He says that the Sagi of Torah, since every word is, it's the word of Hashem, the Torah itself. And so therefore, if you read the words without understanding, you're still reading the words of Hashem. And you can still be Yotzei Talmud Torah, you're still learning Torah, he says, by just reading the words of the Chumash. And he says that that's the idea of Shnayim Mikra, the Echad Targum. Why do you have to read it twice? He says the first time it's just an overall, just reading the words, just taking in the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without necessarily understanding them. And the second time, that's where you have the Targum with it. That's how he says to do it. That's where you have the Targum. The way he says to do it, actually, is to read the whole Parsha. That's the Mikra, the first Mikra, that's just reading the words of Hashem. And then, reading over Pasuk by Pasuk with the translation, that's the learning, the Talmud Torah, delving into the meaning of the word. That's the second level of learning Torah. But that's when it comes to the five Chumashim, because that's the words of Hashem, you could just read it. When it comes to Navi, he says, you have to understand every single word. You have to learn it. Just reading the words. It's not the words of Hashem. The words themselves are not Hashem's choice of words. And therefore, you have to actually, in order to accomplish Talmud Torah, you actually have to understand what you're reading. That's what Yaakov Kamen asked. So in the footnotes, they brought me to, actually, they right here, it's actually a much earlier machlokas. This what Rabbi Yaakov is trying to say, is actually a machlokas achronim. Well, it's not that one of them is much earlier, one of them is not as earlier. So it's a machlokas between the Abarbanel and the Malbim. Abarbanel is writing in the late 1400s. The Malbim is writing in the 1800s. But the Abarbanel is, Rabbi Yaakov is siding with Abarbanel, and the Malbim is very, very unhappy with this approach. The Abarbanel is a fascinating piece. It's at the introduction to Sefer Yirmiyah. And it's like mind-boggling. The Abarbanel writes that he's introducing Sefer Yirmiyah. He says that there are three, he uses the word chikuyim, which means like imitations. I think what he means is like ways to portray something, ways to visualize something, ways to capture an idea. The first way is that, you know, if somebody tells you something, so you have to be able to visualize it, interpret it in your mind. That's the first step. The second step, and this is true whether it's a nevuah, whether it's whether you're attending a shir, you hear somebody, whether you're having a discussion, you hear somebody tell you something, and then you sort of process it. You process it in your mind. And then the next step is, how are you going to tell that over to other people? Because it's not going to be the same way. It takes a skill to be a good orator and to deliver an idea in a clear fashion that's understandable for people, and that, you know, that makes sense, that's grammatically correct, and that, you know, you use good choice of words. That's the second step. And then there's a third, which is, can you write it down? Can you take the thing? Writing is a bit of a different skill than speaking. You don't necessarily write exactly how you would speak. How do you write it down? How do you put it on paper for people? So the Abarbanel, again, he's introducing Sefer Yirmiyah, and he then goes on to rate Yirmiyah's ability in each of these three areas. So he says that Yirmiyah was before that, I'll just read you a couple of his lines just to bring out the idea. In every step when he talks about this, he includes both a chacham and a navi. So he says the third way of portraying something is through Siva. Kasher ha-chacham o ha-navi yisov ala sefer. When a chacham or a navi writes it down, Master Diber, what he has spoken out. Oshayer the Sono Ladaber Bazib, or something that he desired to write down. He says, Vizeh Gamkin Yimsa Hevdo Gadol Ben Mechabrei Hasfarim. You'll find a great difference between authors. Chacham Haya, oh Navi, whether it's a Chacham, just a wise person writing, or a Navi, they'll be very different the way that they write based on their writing ability. And then he goes on to rate Yirmiyah's ability. He says Yirmiyah was excellent at the interpretation, at the processing. When he received the Nebuah, he was very good and very clear in his understanding of the Nebuah. And he basically goes on to say, but his oration skills, his ability to speak in public wasn't so great. And his writing, you read Street Sefer Yirmiyah, not so great. A lot of grammatical errors, a lot of missing words here and there. He wasn't such a great writer. He says it's probably because, you know, he was a young boy when he started to prophecy. I forget, he was a nar. I don't know if he was like 9 or 12. He was very young when he started to be, when Yirmiyah would first receive his first Nebuah. So he says, you know, he was raw. He didn't have as much life experience. He wasn't the greatest at delivering his Nebuah. So at speaking and at writing. So the Abarbanel, you know, seems to be saying a similar thing to Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, which is that it's up to the Navi to deliver the message based on his life experience, his perspective. That's how it's going to come out. And different Nevi'im had different skills. You know, some were better than others. And Yirmiyah, he says, wasn't the greatest at speaking and at writing. That's the Abarbanel.
What it matters, I mean, Yirmiyah or other Nevi'im, what we're talking about is Navi in general, like Yeshua, Shoftim, they're all written by different people, but
right, so
regardless of how good the writer was, we're going to say that you still need to understand in order to be learning Torah. So
yes, so
it's not like one of them was a really good writer, we could just read his words.
No, because it's still not the words of Hashem, it's still his words. So at the end of the day, that's what Rabbi Yaakov says, his words. And so it's not the words themselves aren't the words of God. So just reading them isn't Torah. It's only if you understand what they're saying, so then you're understanding what the Ratzon Hashem, what Hashem's desire to convey was. But Hashem's desire wasn't to convey those words, just the words, it was the meaning behind the words as well. So
who did you compare the Yirmiyah to? We saw the prophet. Did you compare Yirmiyah?
I'm not sure. I didn't go through the whole piece. So I'm not sure. But I don't think he really compares all the different Nevi'im here. He waits till Yirmiyah to have this whole discussion, so I don't know if he was just unhappy with Sefer Yirmiyah. But you see from here how he looks at Nevi'im in general, and the way that they interpret. So, so the Malbim is very unhappy. First of all, he doesn't agree with the Abarbanel, besides for his general approach, doesn't agree that he's correct. Even if it is up for interpretation, because Yirmiyah is a great Navi, it's very well written, and just because you have questions doesn't mean that, that you take it out on Yirmiyah. It's your fault. It's not Yirmiyah's fault that you, Rabbi Abarbanel, don't understand certain things. But he says, but this whole discussion in general, to inspect and to evaluate the words of the Navi, he says, "Einu Matthias Rakim Naskim Al Divrei Mavakir Asher Hisva Asagas Anaviim." As a chazon, as your kibul me'etz Hashem, he says it only begins. You can only start investigating if you hold, like the Abarbanel seems to hold, that the words of the that a navi delivers are similar, are comparable to anyone else who hears a good seer. So, like he says, like any talmidim, so they go to a seer and they hear the seer delivered, and they might now how each Talmud will process it. Some might take notes. Someone might give it over as a cheer, right? So it's true. So there, depending on how well that each one understood and their abilities and their writing skills and their orative skills, all those things will come into play and affect how well that that person delivers the message in speaking and on paper. But he says, how could such a person like you, Rabbi Abarbanel, showing the Torah, who has blameless perfection in Torah, and to compare the Shefa Elokis and Nevuah, to compare the Nevuah, this message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to something that someone hears just from attending a shir or having a discussion with someone else. How could you make such a comparison over there? It's totally physical. It's a physical experience. You're listening and you're putting into play your physical.
It involves with your cognitive faculty.
Exactly. Very good. Good work. It's all cognitive. And there it's true. You're depending on your cognitive abilities and you know how bright you are and how good at writing, etc. So that's going to have an effect. But he says. He says that he quotes a pasuk of Navi in Tehillim, I think it is. He's saying in Book of the Zimra, "Al tigu bin sichai bin zei al tareyu." He says, "Don't touch my shiach, my messenger, bin zei al tareyu, and don't do bad to my neviim. Don't say such a thing about the neviim." He wrote after Yaskil ha'adam b'sicho ha'anoshi, after Yaskil ha'shaga ha'dargis n'gam l'uchar ha'kodem, ha'shaga k'ruah b'mechala ha'zman v'amokom. He says when it comes to a person's own understanding, so you're right, there's a timeline in the delivery of the message, and you know you have to hear the whole shir, you have to interpret it backwards, you have to back and forth, and it's experienced over time, and then it has a beginning and an end, but that's not how a person sees a nevuah. He says the person has a hasaga pitonit. It's immediate. It's just one moment, and he sees the whole thing spread out in front of him, and it's inspired from Hashem. It's above teva. It's above nature. So it's Hashem's desire to give it over to him. It's a bria chadasha. It's a new creation. It's not physical. It's right. Like it's not cognitive. It's not. You're not using your normal faculties to see a nevuah. It's Hashem is placing this into the mind of the Navi, into his vision. And he says, how can you say that at that time you won't have absolute clarity of vision? And he says, not only that, not only is the vision a vision of clarity, but also the words that the Navi speaks out, those are also inspired from Hashem. Gam ha-Lashon shebo diber, lechas ha-Nevuah al-Am, also the Lashon that he uses, v'gam pratei ha-Milos shebam, kasavas ha-Devarim al-Sefer, and the exact word that he uses to write in the Sefer Navi. So that also, so him see mishichol v'chachmas, he didn't come up with that on his own, the Navi. Rak hushmu b'siv, they were placing his mouth. Hashem gives him the exact wording that he is to use. Who some dvar about was Shono? He Hashem places the words on his tongue. The Yomar Kosh is out there, so you should say the Chosisov, and so you should write the eight Kodesh with your holy pen. Lo Sigra, Lo Sosif, you shouldn't add, you shouldn't detract. And he quotes a number of different psukim. The Anochi Eya in Pichav or Yisichas, which are Kedaber. I'm not sure where all these psukim are from, but you know, Hashem says to one of the Nevi'im, I will be with your mouth, and I will guide you in what to say. You think it's about the Gantara? Sounds familiar, you're right. But he says the same idea when it comes to the Nevi'im. He does quote some Sukkim and Navi here also. He says if you think that there could be a toe, a mistake, for the Navi with his words on his sefer, so that's the end, because people are gonna, you're gonna come along and say, oh, he missed a word here, the Navi. It's not grammatically correct. That's adding a word, right? And everybody's gonna start fixing it up as they see fit. How can you say such a thing? How could that be? He says the Sefer HaKodesh will be like an ear prusa, ein choma. It'll be like a city that's been broken open without a wall now. Everybody will just come in and do as they please with the words of the Navi. So, so what about, right, that two Nevi'im don't prophecy in the same style? So he does, so if you see a difference between the style of the different Nevi'im, and it's true, if you learn through Navi, each Navi, at least each paper is written differently, they're written by different Nevi'im, and there's definitely a different style there. But all the words are inspired from Hashem, so why would it be different? So he says, because that was Hashem's desire, that this Navi would sound like this in this style, and this Navi would sound a little bit different. But it's not that the Navi himself came up with the words, it's that Hashem gave him a different style. He ain't saying Navi, it's not the signal. Why? Basher has fuck all on the BM, Yeshua Gvulos Madrego. Ustaram Yidum, Eitel Hashem Adoverbam. Because this Hashbah, this overflowing of prophecy that Hashem gives them, so there's how does he say it? Yisro Gvulos Madrego, there's boundaries and levels, and it's true, different Nevi'im were on different levels, and therefore they experienced the Nevuah with different levels of clarity or in different styles, but at the end of the day, everything that they did deliver was the words of Hashem.
That according to their individual daya and their individual madrega, like they would get a different nevuah.
Right, but not
the result of their personality.
Right, exactly. It wasn't their own interpretation. They're using their own cognitive abilities. It was based on where they were holding, whether in a tribute context, but I think more on a spiritual level. So they would receive a different type of nevuah, but it still was Hashem inspiring that exact nevuah to delivering that exact nevuah to those people. So, and then at the end he says, like I mentioned before, that if you have any problems with the words that they use, so that alecho lichlos advarim b'chisaron havanascha, it's your chisaron in understanding, it's your lack of understanding, doesn't mean that the Navi, that there was anything wrong with the Navi, and that's the Malbim's approach. So the Malbim seems to be taking the approach that, or clearly taking the approach that every single word that you read in Sefer in the Nevi'im is the word of Hashem. That's the word that Hashem told the Navi to write down. So
like you say, there's degrees.
There's degrees in terms of how
So you get to the point where you have like Rosh Kodesh and Chokhmah.
Right.
Right.
So everything in Navi is going to be the level of Nevuah, but even on Nevuah, we know most of them had a very high level of Nevuah. There's different levels of Nevuah, and but all those levels, everything that the Navi sees and says and writes is from Hashem. So Hashem will deliver it to the Navi in a different, in a slightly different style, and even fashion.
Yeah, that's obvious. If you have a vessel, it's like, you know, the cosmic example, it takes transcendence just like infinite without any, definition, you know, undefinable. So if you put the life force, anything, you know, you look at everything you create, it's unique. It's completely unique. So a prophet is a human being is unique.
Right.
And the vision you're going to have is going to be
right.
unique.
Right. So the question is, and this is the point of argument here, you're right, and that's what the Gemara is saying, Ein Shnei Neviim Nisnabim in the Signal Echad, two Neviim don't have the same Nevuah, the same style. The question is, why is that? Is that Hashem's choice in what Nevuah to deliver them, to them? Or is it that Hashem will deliver, he might deliver the same type of Nevuah to everybody, but it's now based on their own ability to interpret it, it will come out differently, and it will be interpreted differently. And that is, I believe, that this machlokas between, on one side, the Abarbanel and, right, the Abarbanel in the 1400s, and the Yaakov Kamenetsky siding with him in the 1900s, and the Malbim, writing in the 1800s, saying that, no, every word that was written down was Hashem's choice of words. So, I think those are two, and that's the important idea to have, just before it opening up the Navi, what are we going to be reading, and like many things, it's a machlokas, but
I think even the Malbim would agree that the word Ashokar Meira is more the word of Hashem.
Yes.
What is that? I'm trying to understand what that means, though, if they're both dictated, like if the words
so
of Ashokar were
that's what he was trying to
exact,
describe here.
The difference.
No.
Everything is from Hashem, right? Even, I mean, is there anything that's not from Hashem? It's just a question of revelation or presence or something like that, right?
Right, so Hashem, I mean, what I think you're trying to say is that Hashem will reveal himself on different levels to different Nevi'im based on their level. That's essentially what the Malbim is saying, and that's why no two Nevi'im will have the same exact style of Nevuah, the same level, because no two Nevi'im are going to be on the exact same level. That's allowing an understanding. Okay. Fine. So, that's the introduction. Now I think we can open up the Navi. We're going to go back to the beginning of Tayar Gimel. I know that you were here for that year, but hopefully next week the regulars will be back, and they were not, and hopefully also I'm sure there will be something different than what you heard last night. Also, if you want to get a Navi, and it's going to be Daf Torah, just get a Chumash, because Daf Torah Parshas Peshawa. So let's just get a little bit of background into what's been going on up to now. So Sefer Yehoshua basically is about the conquering of the land of Israel and the dividing up of the land to the tribes. And then, there's a cycle throughout Sefer Shoftim of the Jewish people. They did Rabbe and Hashem, they sinned, and then they cry out to Hashem, then they were oppressed, then they cry out, and Hashem sent them a Navi, or a Shofet, and they were saved. We'll see that a bit of a cycle. So we're just in the beginning of Parak Dalet, we're just coming off the era of Ehud ben Gera, and Ehud's era lasted about 80 years of quiet, of peace, And then at the very end of Perek Gimel, the last pasuk says that the Achrav Haya Shamgar Ben Amos, after Ehud came along another Shofet named Shamgar Ben Amos, Ayachas Plishtim Sheish Meotish, and he hit the Plishtim, he destroyed the Plishtim, 600 men, the Malmat Bakar, Habakar, by Yosha, Gamru Asisal, Muhammad Bakr, this cattle herding stick to beat them, and he as well saved Kali. That's how Perek Gimel ends. Now we'll begin Perek Dalet. Pasuk Aleph. Where does that story start from? Okay. By Yosifu b'nei Yisrael l'aso tarah b'nei Hashem. And b'nei Yisrael continued to do bad in the eyes of Hashem. The Ehud made. And Ehud died. So, the Mefarshim are bothered. What the pasuk saying? The Ehud made. And Ehud died. First of all, because we just finished saying at the end of the last parak that there was another shofet after Ehud, Shamgar Ben Anos. So why is the pasuk saying, talking about Ehud, to talk about Shamgar?
Ehud was still alive during the time of Shamgar Ben Anos.
Right. So that's one approach. And Malvin says exactly like that, that he was still alive and he was older, so now Shamgar was taking over. Other Mefarshim say that it was still during the time of Shamgar, but they were already doing bad during the days of Shamgar. The way the Radak says it was that he made Shamgar, though no shul yisrael shua shleima. That in the days of Shamgar there wasn't a full salvation. So he's saying Ehud died, and then there was Shamgar. During the days of Shamgar, they were still doing rabbi and Hashem. Even though the pasuk says that he saved them, but he didn't really fully save them, and he didn't stop them from doing ra, and the land was not completely quiet. He says all it says is like Yosha Gamu Asisal. He also saved B'nai Yisrael, but I guess, you know, but things weren't perfect. By Yim Karein, Hashem B'yad Yavim Melech Kenan, and Hashem sold them into the hands of the king of Yavin, the king of Kenan, Asher Malach HaChatzur, who was the king in Chatzur, Yisar Tzivao Sitra. And the general of his army was the famous Sitra, who Yoshe Bacharoshes Hagoyim. And Sitra dwelled in the city of Charoshes Hagoyim, or actually I think Yavin dwelled, the king of Canaan dwelled in the city, Charoshes Hagoyim. Charoshes usually referred to like a crap. Charoshes Evan we have in the Torah. So there's a number of different interpretations of what Charoshes Hagoyim refers to.
It's a place, the name of a place.
Right, so why was it called that? So the Ra'bag brings a number of different interpretations. One is that it was many, many craftsmen combined to build this city. And this was a magnificent city, a fortress, a large city. They called to many, many different craftsmen to come build up this great city.
Yeah, a craft. What about by Yim Karein? Why does he say Hashem sold? What did he get? What did Hashem get in return from Yama? You sell something, you get something back, right?
Yeah. So the Malbim says. I'm not sure. And the Malbim doesn't
give back to Hashem. Hashem gave him what he wanted, and what he got in return is he got the Jews of the children.
Okay, possible. I don't remember. Some of our discussed it. I didn't.
As opposed to, like, he gave them. Huh? Yeah, I think like why it says by imperium and close to, like he gave them into the hands.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's
the Mefarshim did discuss that. I didn't see it. It's not the main Mefarshim. I saw it somewhere else, so I don't remember what the shine that was. Let's do one more pasuk. By Yitzaku v'nei Yisrael al Hashem, and v'nei Yisrael cried out to Hashem. Because Sisera had 900 chariot, iron chariots. He had a formidable army. And he applied pressure on the Jewish people. They were very scared of him. And that lasted for 20 years. And we're going to have to hold it.